You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain, a potpourri of fallacies. This is another episode about one of my favorite subjects, fallacies of logic, to which we are all prone. Logical fallacies are employed when arguing or debating with other people, and are also a way of fooling yourself into doing or believing what you want, rather than what you should. Today will be a grab bag of more than one fallacy. The first one is called the ad hominem attack. This is where you try to refute the opponent's argument by attacking him or her personally rather than attacking his or her argument. Ad hominem literally translates from Latin as at the man. Some examples of this might include, pay no attention to Mr. Stulpnagel's assertion that the earth is a sphere. I have it on good authority that he molests meerkats. You can immediately see the problem with this logic. Mr. Stulpnagel's alleged propensity for hot meerkat love is not a valid argument for a flat earth. Another version of the ad hominem attack might say, Professor Murgatroyd should not be believed when she claims that drinking water does not cause genital warts. She is obviously a paid shill for big water. Who has been paid and who has not, by big water or anyone else, has no bearing on the factuality of their argument. One more example of an ad hominem attack might go something like this. Sensei Knobwobbler's claim that he was not trained by aliens is pure bunk. You can't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. It's a well-known fact that he is a member of the Nazi Party. These various personal attacks, whether true or not, have no bearing on the argument put forth by the person being attacked. Another logical fallacy that is closely related to the ad hominem attack is called poisoning the well. In poisoning the well, you draw inferences about the opponent's argument that have nothing to do with its truth or validity, but still leave a foul essence around it. A quite famous version of this fallacy is one of my favorites. Two people are debating the virtues of being a vegetarian when one of them says, well, you know, Hitler was a vegetarian. I don't need to waste time here commenting about what Hitler was like, but that has nothing to do with the value or the lack of value of being a vegetarian. Another example might happen during a debate between two people about the efficacy of psychiatry. One of the participants would be engaging in poisoning the well were he to say something like, I knew a woman whose psychiatrist molested her. Well, that's terrible. I hope he got caught and was punished. But the fact of his horrible behavior does not constitute evidence about the value of psychiatry. The next fallacy I will discuss is called the appeal to consequences. This fallacy occurs two different ways. In the first case, you believe that a claim or idea is true because it would be good for you if it were true. In the second case, you do not believe that a claim or idea is true because it would be bad for you if it were true. Here are some examples of the first type. A person using this flawed kind of logic might say something like, Santa Claus must be real. If he weren't, then Christmas would be a lot less merry. The potential level of merriment of Christmas doesn't constitute evidence one way or the other for Santa's existence. Or, karma must be a real force in the universe. If it weren't, people could get away with whatever they wanted. Sadly, many people throughout history have done atrocious things to other people, sometimes to thousands of them, or even tens of millions of them, and then died peacefully in their sleep after long, happy, prosperous lives. Just because you wish that it was a just universe doesn't constitute evidence that it is one. In the immortal words of Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise, wishing for a thing does not make it so. As much as you might like karma to exist, The lack of solid evidence means you really have to rely heavily on confirmation bias to believe that it does. If you don't know what confirmation bias is, it was the subject of the Marshall Brain episode number 37, entitled, "This Technique Always Works." Well, except for when it doesn't. Here's an example of the first kind of appeal to consequences from the martial arts. The person employing the fallacy might say something like, "The size of your opponent doesn't matter." This mantra has been repeated ad nauseam throughout the history of the martial arts. It sure would be nice if it were true, wouldn't it? While, of course, it is true that there are many cases throughout history of smaller men defeating larger men in empty hand and close-range weaponry combat, the number of these cases is nowhere near large enough to constitute convincing evidence that the size of your opponent is of no consequence. The fact that most combat sports use weight classes is a reflection of this fact. As I said in an earlier episode, why has a 125-pound man never won the World Heavyweight Championship in any combat sport? And don't tell me that they wouldn't allow the small man to try, either. If there were anything like a realistic chance of such a thing happening, I guarantee you there's a promoter out there that would make the fight happen. The fact that bigger opponents are mathematically more likely to defeat you sucks and doesn't seem fair. The universe, however, is indifferent to the concept of fairness. Here are some examples of the second type of appeal to consequences. If grappling skills are integral to a well-rounded fighting game, then my status as a master of karate or kung fu seems less significant. Therefore, I believe grappling skills to be unnecessary. Your desire to appear to possess martial omnipotence does not constitute evidence that it's unnecessary to cultivate a grappling game. Another example might sound something like, if evolutionary science is real, then that means that humans are just animals, and I can't accept that. Your feelings of revulsion for being thought of as just another animal also do not constitute evidence for the refutation of evolutionary science. Yet another example might go something like, if my martial arts instructor is a fraud, then that means that my 2 years of training under him have been wasted. He can't be a fraud. Your abhorrence for the thought of having wasted time, while understandable, does not amount to evidence one way or the other about the qualifications and competence of your instructor. A final fallacy I will describe today is peculiar to the martial arts. It is not described in the traditional literature about logical fallacies, but I have observed it many more times than once. I call it the appeal to violence. It goes something like this. My martial arts style is better than yours because I can kick your ass. The first question to ask is, what makes him believe that he can? Past experience or guesswork? Even assuming that he can, this logic is flawed in many ways. To logically answer the question of who can kick whose ass, you need evidence. In an attempt to approach statistical significance, let's say that the two martial artists have 1,000 fights with each other, which of course is nearly impossible to achieve in the real world. Even if one fighter defeats another 1,000 straight times, it may or may not be because he practices a superior martial arts style. It could be that he is simply much more gifted genetically than the other fighter, so much so that genes are more decisive in this case than style. This could also be the case if he only wins most of the matches. Victory in a single case of combat does constitute a data point, but in and of itself is proof of nothing. If this fallacy were actually valid and true, then we should all quit training in our current styles and go seek training under lions, tigers, or bears. Oh my. That's all for today. I hope you enjoyed this little tour through several logical fallacies, and remember, don't make me go all ad hominem on your ass. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, or check out old episodes of The Martial Brain at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Marshall Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Marshall Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.